We're going to continue forward in the book of Acts. And when I originally was studying, getting ready to preach this text, I had a really great generic message title called Word and Spirit on Mission, which is actually kind of cool. Being a people of the Word and a people of the Spirit who are on mission together. But I woke up this morning and I felt like what God was really challenging with the same text, the same things, but what we really needed to focus on was preparing to say yes to God. Preparing to say yes to what Jesus has for your life. What Jesus has for my life. What Jesus has for us together. Preparing now to say yes to things that are coming in the future. Because there are a lot of things coming in the future. And if we are diligent now in getting ready, not waiting until someday down the line when miraculously someone says, hey, you're supposed to be in this city, in this place, and you need to go next week. And you go, okay. Well, it doesn't usually happen like that. But as a people of God, we know something for sure. It doesn't matter if Micah Jones is headed to Washington State University in the fall, or Gabe is going to go to Whitworth. You're going to Eastern, right? He's going to be an Eagle. Coulter's going to Eastern. It doesn't matter where you're headed. God has stuff in store for you. If you're graduating from college, these guys that are getting ready to be done, like, praise Jesus, right? Like, oh, ready to be done, and then welcome to the real world of working and jobs and all that. God has things in store for you. He has purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. How can we be getting ready for that right now? We can be. How can we begin to say yes right now today? Let's look at Acts chapter 18. And we're actually going to read the end of Acts 18 and into the beginning of Acts 19 today. We're going to read it in three little chunks. 18, verses 18 through 22. This is after Paul has been in Corinth. He's met this couple we talked about last week, a refugee couple, Aquila and Priscilla, who had been evicted from Rome along with all the rest of the Jews. And Paul comes to Corinth and he meets Aquila and Priscilla. It turns out they have the same trade, the same line of work, and Paul begins working with them. And now Paul is getting ready to leave Corinth. It says, after this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila, this refugee couple. And I don't know how to say this word. I apologize. We need Andrew or Tracy or Randy. Synchrea, maybe. At Synchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next, through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Paul's been in Corinth, and now he's leaving Corinth. And what we find is this couple, they've already left everything because they had to in Rome. Aquila and Priscilla. They're these Italian Jews. They've set up shop in a new place. They've begun establishing a new life. And here comes Paul. They meet Paul. They've got common, not just hobbies, but common trade. They spend time together. And when it comes time for Paul to move on, Aquila and Priscilla go with him. You think, God, you've moved me out. You've moved me from Rome to Corinth. I'm setting up. I'm establishing. Here we go. we begin to build. They meet Paul. They're finding out about Jesus. They're coming into like, wow, kingdom of God stuff. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God carries them right out of their new city and on mission with Paul. I love this. They're ready to go. They're ready to be a part. They're ready to leave their new life to partner with apostolic mission and the kingdom of God. What's really interesting is we were just praying for Jeff and Viv Kidwell in South Africa for God to bring breakthrough in their life. This Friday in Dubai, the church, Gateway Church in Dubai, was praying for Steve and Heather Oliver, who are moving from Dubai to London to begin helping with this church that's recently come into Regions Beyond, and they're coming, Steve and Heather felt, to go and leave a really great work in Dubai. Tracy's been there, Donald's been there. Gateway Church in Dubai is a healthy, healthy church. Do they have problems? Sure, every church does. They have struggles? Yes, but God is on the move and building things. Churches are being planted out from Gateway Church in Dubai, all over that part of the world. Why in the world would you leave that? Because God's on the move. God's mission is always moving forward. And just like Aquila and Priscilla, who've planted and begun to build in Corinth, are suddenly coming to a new place. They're coming to Ephesus, a new city. Steve and Heather are making the move to London. We just got to have lunch. I got to have lunch with him, or meet with him twice this week, a guy named Joy Panus, who's an Indian church planter. By Indian, I mean he's from India. And as we're listening to Joy share about first coming into a village, he said he felt like God sent him to come to this village and plant a church. And he said, I got nowhere. We're praying, we're seeing zero people respond. We have no church other than, here's Joy, and his name is Joy. Interesting, huh? Over there, it's a fruit of the Spirit, not a woman's name. So, a man named Joy, doesn't it sound like a Johnny Cash song? Boy named Sue, man named Joy. Well, this man named Joy, he comes into this city, he's struggling, and he's going, God, why did you bring me here? There's no fruit. There's no harvest. What are we doing here? He said he walked into the market one day. And he looked at the people in this flea market. And all of a sudden, he said the compassion of God came on him. And he began to see them, not just as a person in the market, and all that, but he began to see them as people that Jesus loved and people who were lost. And he said he began to cry right there in the flea market. And he had to get out. He's like, I'm an adult male. I had to find somewhere private so that I could cry and so that I could pray. He said he went home and his wife thought, what's wrong with you? And he went up into this room and he began to cry and pray for the people. And he said, and then that week, God connected him with one man in the village. And he was able to share the gospel with this man. For 45 minutes, he and a friend. They shared the gospel with this man. Turns out, he responds to the gospel, surrenders his life to Jesus, and says, would you be willing to come back and share this with my family? I said, sure. So he starts inviting family members. And he said, we're going to go to this person's home, and then we're going to go to this person's home, and then this person's home. And eventually, Joy said, wouldn't it make more sense if we invited them all to come to one place and we'll just share the gospel with all of them together? So they picked this tree in town and said, invite everyone to come. So they came. And all these family members gathering, and seven of them responded that day to the gospel. So they started a church, which they'd been fighting to do in their own strength for a while, and started a church that day. And so then they started bringing friends and family members, and pretty soon they're baptizing people. And so Joy said, he's an older gentleman, he said, we started doing this and there was some other people who were starting to do this in other villages. they now have 1,500 churches all over India. In the regions where, if I tried to go as a white guy, I would have a very difficult time even being there because of the color of my skin. They've planted churches all over these regions with Indian people. They've baptized 250,000 people who were Hindus. These aren't, you know, Christians who came from other churches. These are people who were Hindu. 250,000 of them. And the gospel is moving because one guy was willing to say yes to Jesus, even when it made no sense. And he felt like God said, go to this village. And he went to this village. Seeing nothing. But he was like, God, if you sent me here, I'll keep going. 250,000 people later. Wow. What might God be preparing for us and for you when you begin to say yes to Him now? And I don't mean just saying yes. Yes, Jesus, You're the Lord of my life. Yes, I want You to be my Lord and Savior. But yes, Jesus, I'm willing to live this life for You. I'm willing to go where You send me. I'm willing to be where You place me. Yes. What could God be up to? It's probably bigger than you're thinking. We are a people of mission. Are you ready to say yes? Not just, yes, Jesus, You can be the Lord of my life, but yes, Your mission will be my mission. It's dangerous, isn't it? It's exciting, though. We are a people of mission. That's a people called to say yes to what God is saying. And we're not only a people of mission, although that's a big thing. There's two things we're going to get into, how did Aquila and Priscilla, how were they able to say yes? And we start to see it, not just in their lives, but in the lives of people around them and the lives of people around Paul. Let's read the next few verses. So here they are in Ephesus. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, that's in Egypt. It's a university town in Egypt. That's what it was. It was a city of great learning. One of the ancient learning centers was Alexandria, Egypt. And the library in Alexandria was renowned, world renowned. And here comes this man named Apollos from Alexandria. He comes to Ephesus. He's an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. This is fascinating to me. This is a man well versed in the scriptures. He teaches accurately about Jesus. He's an eloquent speaker, and he's fervent. Like, this is the kind of guy you want at every major conference. The Christian conferences are going to be lining up to book this guy. We want Apollos. When he speaks, everybody listens. Right? He's good at what he does. He's a fantastic communicator. And he can unpack the scriptures like nobody's business. Wow. And Priscilla and Aquila listen to him speak, and they realize something's missing. He's got all the right, like, you can tick all the boxes. He's trained, he's got the pedigree, he's a good communicator, his theology's pretty solid. This is great. This is Christian radio, Christian TV guy, right? But they take him aside and begin to explain to him more accurately the scriptures. He already knows about Jesus. He's already teaching about Jesus. But they begin to equip this guy, further equipping a very equipped man. This is cool. I sometimes feel a little bit humbled when I stand up to speak at Grace Church Spokane because of all the ex-pastors, and I say ex-pastors, that doesn't mean you're not still gifted and qualified. It's just you're here instead of leading another church where you could be. And I think, oh, what a privilege, though, to get to further equip men and women who are already high caliber people in God. What a privilege, and what a not humiliating, that was the wrong word. Humbling, though, keeps me on my face going, Jesus, we want to be releasers of people who are already equipped. Help us do that. This is what Aquila and Priscilla do with Apollos. They take him aside and they begin to instruct him further in the word. Let me ask you a question, because this is a big deal in preparing. Apollos gets sent out from Ephesus. He gets sent out and he goes other places, and he's an even more competent and effective minister of the gospel than he was when he got there. What steps have you taken, or are you taking, to be a student of the word, ongoing student of the word? Not just, yes, I've submitted my life to Jesus, but I am a student of scripture. I am learning, not just this is what I know, this is what I have learned, but I am learning the word. What steps have you already taken? Because a lot of you have, I know, because you have seminary degrees. You've taken some steps. And some of you, like me, do not have a seminary degree. But what steps have you taken to further equip yourself so that when a guy like Apollos comes to you, you're actually prepared to equip? Aquila and Priscilla didn't have the pedigree that Apollos did, but God used them to equip Apollos. God will use you, guys, as we are saying yes to Him and being a people of the Word. What you're doing is you're preparing for a further yes down the road you might not even know is coming. But as you say yes, I'm going to be a man, a woman of the Word of God. I'm going to draw in equipping. I'm going to learn. You actually, right now, when you do that, are saying yes to the mission of God. This is how we prepare for mission. Now, we're going to get into, in a little bit, what it means when he says Apollos knows only the baptism of John. We don't get any explanation of that here. We get it in the next chapter. So we'll hit that in a minute. Let me ask you a couple more questions before we do. In what area, everybody look at me for a second. I want you to think about this. In what area do you need equipping? You might already have a lot that you know. And maybe you feel like, I don't know anything. And I feel completely incompetent. Well, in what area do you need equipping? Are you willing to say yes to that? Yes, I need help here. Yes, I need training here. I need to be shored up. I need to be strengthened. I love that Apollos was willing to do that. And it didn't demean in any way who he already was in God. It didn't lessen him. I read this and I so respect a man like this who comes in, and who are Aquila and Priscilla? He's the guy preaching in the synagogue, and they pull him aside, and he listens to them. Wow. He was willing to take and receive equipping and instruction. Now let me ask you this. What practical step can you take to continue being a student of the Word? In that area that you're thinking about, like, I need help here. What practical step can you take? Now, I'm not saying, here's your practical step, guys. Here's the big plan. Here's your Bible reading plan. Stick to it every day or you've failed. No. What I am saying is, are you willing to take practical steps, real steps that might impact your life? You might have to adjust your schedule so that you can be saying yes right now to the further yes you don't know is even coming. You're preparing for whatever God has for your future. You might need to think about that. If there's some practical steps you need to take, write them down. Write down, like, this is what I need to do next. And I guess what? There will always be another next. So, just so you know, we never stop. I'm going to give you one more quick little story about Joy Panus, this Indian church planner guy. When they started realizing people are getting saved, a lot of people, and more villages, like, we've got to get people to this place, and we've got to get people to this place, and how are we going to do this? They got more formal, and they started equipping people. And they have multiple church planning training schools now, and they have a seminary where you can get a master's degree if you need one. But they said, look, we're going to begin equipping. And they started with, it was like 3 or 4 people. And they just began giving it away on a small scale. And the next year it was 12 people. And the next year it was like 20 people. And then it starts expanding and expanding to where, in addition to their church planning training schools, now they have also taken, through the more formal Bible college, they've taken 1,300 leaders through and equipped them. And those are the ones that they've already sent out. You can be preparing many other people to say yes. And that might be how you say yes to God, is I'm going to begin giving away what I have. When I started leading worship in 1998, I immediately was asked, as a really green worship leader, to begin training other worship leaders in town. And I felt like I didn't know anything. I was like, what am I supposed to do? And I felt like God said, whatever you do know, begin to equip other people with it. Whatever it is that you actually do already know, begin to give it away. Don't hold anything as this is mine or this is my ministry. Begin to give it away. And as I began to do that, you know what happened? People would ask me questions and I didn't know the answer. And I started studying even more. And I started learning more because I was committing to equip other people. And I learned way more, I think, than any of the other leaders did in those first few years, because I was reading and studying, and all of a sudden I had a reason. You know what the reason was? The mission of God. Equipping and releasing other people. As you, wherever you are, if it's on the Washington State University campus, and you go, okay, here I am, what do I do? Take whatever it is God has given you and whatever you know and begin to give it away. Begin to invest into somebody else. And you can be saying yes to God and yes to the mission of God right now. And you're going to be learning as you do it. Now, we're going to look at one more thing. We're going to read ahead into chapter 19, because we find out a little more about these disciples who, you might be following Jesus, but all you know is John's baptism. What does that mean? Because we aren't only a people of the Word. If you've been around here for very long, you'll know we say, kind of, we have a catchphrase, Word and Spirit, Word and Spirit. We are people of the Word, and we are people of the Spirit. Let's read chapter 19, the first few verses. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, he's off ministering elsewhere. Paul, we come back to him now. Paul passed through the inland country and came back to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. Pay attention to this. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And there were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But then some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation. He withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." What an interesting question Paul asks these disciples. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And I actually have had a friend of mine who was a Baptist pastor in Georgia. And he said he felt like when he would read that passage, he was like, this is kind of like most of my Baptist family and friends. We're like Father, Son, and Holy Bible. Like that's it. Father, Son, Holy Bible. This is it. It's Scripture is what we need. Scripture, 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 Scripture. And he goes, the whole idea that the Holy Spirit, that we needed the Spirit, was kind of foreign. So it almost felt like we were so little educated about the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit that we could respond like these guys. Like, we don't even know there is a Holy Spirit, but we have the Bible. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. They'd been baptized into John's baptism, which we find out right here. Luke, the writer of Acts, Luke tells us, what was John's baptism? It was a baptism of repentance. It's a baptism of repentance and believing in the one who was to come. Now, John himself taught and told everybody who that was. Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So there's a knowledge of Jesus and a baptism into repentance, turning from our sin to follow the Lamb. Paul comes to these men and says, guys, there's more for you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And when they say no, he does something about it. Now, they're baptized into the name of Jesus. So apparently, their baptism, they were looking forward, they were looking ahead to the Messiah. But in terms of really owning Jesus in their lives, there was something that was lacking, that was missing. And so Paul said, let's do this. And they're baptized in faith into Christ. And then Paul does something really simple. He lays his hands on them, and then the Holy Spirit comes on them. And then because the Holy Spirit came on them, these 12 men began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now, how do we say yes to the Spirit of God? Today is all about saying yes and preparing to say yes for the further future, the mission of God. How do we say yes to the Spirit of God? The first thing is this, just having the faith to respond. When Paul challenges men who've already been baptized, but somehow in an incomplete way, they responded in faith and said, okay. And they were willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Great. My guess is that most of you, if you came from other churches, that's probably already happened. You've responded in faith and said, yeah. And if you haven't been, how do you begin saying yes? It's little things like this. Yes, I want to identify with Jesus. I need to be baptized. And just having the faith to respond. And then having the faith to receive. Holy Spirit comes on them. Now, this doesn't tell us anything, like they had to do some big thing. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah. Like, what's the, you know, say the magic words, and the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's just saying, okay, we receive. Great. The Holy Spirit's for us? Cool. We receive. And they did. And they received. There's no pressure on you guys. There's no pressure like, work it up, work it up, work it up. Just receive the Spirit. This is how we say yes to the mission of God. And then finally, these 12 men began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Notice, the Spirit came on them, and then they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. It's not, work up some language. Come on, guys, let's work up some words. And then the Holy Spirit will come on you. It's actually, that's backwards. We let the Spirit come, and the Spirit brings good gifts with Him. And we just have faith then to engage and to speak. I like that they began prophesying and declaring the things of God. How do you say yes to God? You respond in faith. You receive in faith. And you begin to engage. I like they began to speak. There's something about prophesying. I'm not trying to demean speaking in tongues or somehow make that lesser. I believe that gift is for every Christian. That you can enjoy that gift. But some of you have it now, some of you don't, and that's fine. Paul actually tells us, I desire the most that you prophesy. I want you to prophesy. These guys began to speak the things of God. They began to declare God. Let's do that. Let's respond as best we know how. As much as it depends on us, let's respond to Him in faith. Say, Lord, we need the Spirit. We need to be rooted in Your Word. We get it. We want to be. And we want to respond, and let's begin to speak the life of God. It's actually preparing you for His mission when you do that. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Guys, it's Word and Spirit together that empower our mission. They empower what God has called us to do. What are we called to do? What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and do what? Make disciples. We're called to both be disciples and make disciples who are rooted into Christ, who are full of the Spirit, and who are taught the Scriptures well. Let's be that. We're called to be that. Some of you are primarily going to be one of these three things. You're a mission person. You're like, I just so resonate with the mission of God and getting out with unchurched people. I want to be with the lost. Guess what? You need to be rooted in the Word and full of the Spirit so that you're effective when you do that. Some of you are primarily Word people, and you love to study, you love to learn. Guess what? You need to be full of the Spirit so you can take what God's put into you out to the world. Some of you are primarily Spirit people, and you just love the presence of God. Like, oh man, when we meet with God and we worship, it is so great. We just hang out, and you know the way the gifts happened, it wasn't even really biblical, but man, God was so good. You need the Word. And to be aware that how we engage with the Spirit actually impacts the mission. People can respond to the gospel or not based on how we are activating with gifts of the Spirit. So are you, which one are you? Maybe you're two of them. Few of us are all three, like really strongly. Think about that. Where do you really identify? It's going to be the other areas where you go, God, I need to say yes to the other area too. Can we be all three as a church? Yeah, I think we can. We're part of the missional church movement. Yeah. Part of the word church movement. Yeah. Part of the charismatic church movement. Yeah. That's called biblical church. All three of these things working together is actually Book of Acts churches. And that's what Joy Panus said to us. He said, Jesus is in heaven. That probably went by on the slide because I did it out of order. But Joy said to us, we are now Jesus' hands and feet on the earth. He's not walking on the earth. We are walking on the earth. And we are called to do what he did. Preach the gospel, minister to the sick and to the poor. He says, we believe we should establish churches that do everything the church did in the Book of Acts. I was like, duh. It's kind of what we're supposed to do, isn't it, guys? How do you need to say yes today? Where is God challenging you right now to say yes to him? Is it in the area of mission? And that doesn't just mean going to Africa. That also means talking to your neighbor. Is it in the area of committing yourself to learning the Word of God? Letting your life and your life decisions line up with what the Word says versus just what our culture says? Is it saying yes to the Spirit, recognizing, I can't do this? I need the Spirit of God. Let's respond. Let's do this. Let's stand to our feet. Daniel, would you mind coming and just playing? Between you and the Lord, I just want to let you respond to him. It might be, well, I already said it, saying yes to his mission, saying yes to his word, saying yes to the Spirit.